Blog Talk Radio.
I've got a bad reputation. Do you have something to hide? Oh, it's such a strange sensation when you finally open up your eyes. One less lie to believe in, one less trick of the mind. The process of illumination, the process of illumination.
Providing the people with an alternative media choice, speaking truth to power. Ah, truth to power. Well, we're trying. We're giving it our best shakes. We hope you tune in from time to time to listen to us. We're basically here just to supply some of our solidarity with Occupy Wall Street and the Occupy movement globally. Want to remind you that on Tuesdays, you can find Dusty Taylor here of Left Wing Nutjob and Roundtree 7. And in the mid-month of December, Wednesdays, this day, the Anything Goes Day, it's going to belong to the Reverend Manny Jalonski. He is a contributor and editor over at The Independent in New York City, in Brooklyn, actually. He's been with covering the Occupy Wall Street movement since its very first baby days in September. We're feeling pretty tall these days, aren't we? I'd like to take a moment to remind all here listening in archive or out there with your ear pinned to your computer, thank you very much for that, very sincerely, that today we are again with Egypt, and being the daughter of Isis, you know, that's regular time for me. Over 37 have been killed in Tahrir Square, and it's ongoing. It's 4 days of really intense violence going on out there, so please remember, we are Egypt, especially if you sit down to give any kind of thanksgiving tomorrow. The thanksgiving includes all of our brothers and sisters in solidarity around the world on planet Earth. If ever we needed a return to might for right, it's about now, fellas. So Here Be Monsters dedicates all broadcasts to the peacefully driven Occupy movement worldwide. Hi, Corral. I see you there. In solidarity, because we are the 99%. We are sponsored by Roundtree 7, the number 7.com, and Daughters of Isis, which is a handmade company, my little company. I got something really cool. This is Wednesday on Here Be Monsters, and until Manny gets back and begins his stint taking this Wednesday as his personal show, it's still Anything Goes on Wednesday. Absolutely. Solidarity. I'm hearing solidarity from, where is that again? Oh, the Okies. Okies, Oklahoma. Wonderful, wonderful musical. It's one of my favorites. But anyways, we have the mellow here today. Yes, today very much so. Muhammad Bouazizi. Don't forget the name. Something to be grateful for. Something to be grateful for the compassion of. Muhammad Bouazizi, and anybody who's listening that does not remember who he is, he self-immolated, or in other words, he lit himself on fire in Tunisia in December a year ago. I think it was December. And, geez, you know, he triggered much of what is going on now. So I have gotten this wonderful missive from Adbusters, and I'm going to share it with you because that's what we do on Anything Goes Days. We share what we got. Okay, and they're creative crowds, so bear with me while I try to make do and best of with their creativity. Hey, dreamers, occupiers, rabble-rousers, you've been sleeping in the streets for 2 months, pleading peacefully for a new spirit in economics. And just as your camps are raided, your eyes pepper-sprayed and your heads knocked in, another group of people are preparing to camp out. Only these people aren't here to support Occupy Wall Street. They're here to secure their spot in line for a Black Friday bargain at Super Target and Macy's. Occupy gave the world a new way of thinking about the fat cats and financial pirates on Wall Street. Now let's give them a new way of thinking about the holidays, about our own consumption habits. Let's use the upcoming 20th annual Buy Nothing Day to launch an all-out offensive to unseat the corporate kings on the holiday throne. It sounds so good to me. This is Gwen talking. It just sounds so good to me. And indeed, Black Friday, big day for all the Occupy movements. This year's Black Friday will be the first campaign of the holiday season where we will set the tone for a new type of holiday culminating with Occupy Christmas. Did you know? Yeah, this is kind of cool, synchronistic, and metaphysical, if you ask me. The 99%, our 99th day of Occupy, is Christmas Day. Is that cool or is that cool? That is from the courtesy of Dennis Traynor Jr. over at There's No Cure for That, and we'll have his commercial coming up soon. As the global protests of the 99% against corporate greed and casino capitalism continues, let's take the opportunity to hit the empire where it really hurts, the wallet. The wallet. Somebody said Wallet Street the other day. I thought that was very clever. On November 25th and 26th, we escaped the mayhem and unease of the biggest shopping day in North America and put the brakes on rabid consumerism for 24 hours. Flash mobs, consumer fasts, small sit-ins, community events, credit card cut-ups. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. twirly marts and jams, jams, jams. We don't camp on the sidewalk for a reduced price tag on the flat screen TV or psycho killer video game. No, we don't do that. Instead, we occupy the very paradigm that is fueling our ego, social, and political decline. I think that's very well said, don't you? That's very well said. Anyways, historically, Buy Nothing Day has been about fasting from hyper-consumerism, a break from the cash register, and reflecting on how dependent we really are on conspicuous consumption. You remember that, don't you? No. It was not really a Who song. Who just demonstrated it very well. Conspicuous consumption. Look it up, but you're doing it. I'll bet you are. On the 20th anniversary of Buy Nothing Day, we take it to the next level, marrying it with the message of Occupy. Well, that's pretty cool. I'm going to go over here now to you. You will forgive me while I do my own production skills. Now I'm going to be off. I want to take this moment, too, before I go and read the lineup for Occupy Wall Street and what's going on, the next days of action, to say hello to Vorpalbite. Vorpalbite? Okay, cool. I'm with it. You got to cut the politicians off from corporate lobbyists' purse strings. Well, I agree there 100%. Vorpalbite. I like that. I always like vampires anyways. And, of course, Dave is here. And Alex Thorpe. That's a pretty cool name, too. I got cool names on Anything Wednesday. Hello. Hello back at you. Hello back at Vorp. Just call you Vorp. You got it. Vorp. But I really like the whole thing. It sort of rolls out of your mouth like, ooh, this could be freaky and scary, but maybe not. Yeah, it's Anything Goes Wednesday, people. But now I'm over on the Occupy.org site. Can't see the chat room, but I want you to know that Occupy Seattle is going to occupy Walmart. And I'm all for it, and I think there's one going on here just locally. Debbie and I are going to try to get to it if we can, probably before dinner, where people who eat our Thanksgiving dinner at 8. Anyways, you know, it's at that cocktail hour, man. Anyways, Walmart on Friday, November 25th, Occupy Seattle will join Occupy Tacoma, Occupy Bellingham. Bellingham is a great town. I have friends there. Go Bellingham. And Occupy Everett in a statewide protest of Walmart and Renton at 2 p.m. With its long history, and I saw conversation about this in the Occupy Wall Street Facebook chat today, with its long history of mistreating workers and suppliers, its recent announcement of significant cutbacks on employee health care, well, that, I didn't even know they went halfway there, and its obscene profits. Walmart is a prime example of how the 99% are suffering at the hands of the 1%, and that is understated. Walmart is the largest corporation in the world and proof positive of how big business is destructive to our democracy. While Americans are shopping at Walmart, Walmart is buying Congress. Last year, paid over $4.3 million in campaign contributions, not to mention the monies funneled through donations to lobbying organizations. Just to protect their interests. Just to protect those interests. Boy, you should see the crap they do outside this country. Unfortunately, its interests are not those of its employees. With $14.3 billion in profits in 2010, Walmart still saw fit to eliminate health insurance coverage for part-time employees, cut company contributions to employee health savings by 50%, good Christ, and increase health care premiums 17% to 61% for over 2.1 million employees worldwide. Somebody ought to take them out back and kick the shit out of them. According to an article in the Huffington Post, well, you know, there went the neighborhood too, boys. The average Walmart worker makes $8.81 per hour, while the CEO makes about $8,990 an hour. Well, let me give you this one too. There's a lot of large corporations that are paying those wages. I started at $9 an hour for customer service rep. I made over $1 million in 6 months for a company that only wanted to give me a quarter raise. Yeah, I got out of there, but I needed the job at the time. The Walton family, the largest shareholders of Walmart stock and descendants of its founder, is the wealthiest family in the United States, with an estimated net worth of $92 billion, according to Forbes' latest rankings. That's more wealth than the bottom 40% of Americans combined. Can you imagine? They directly gave $7 million in political contributions in 2020, $7 million in contributions in 2010, and billions more through their family foundations in an effort to buy our legislative process. It's time to occupy Walmart, to shine the spotlight on the many abuses that they pull. Culturally abusive, my gosh. Anyways, the contact here is occupyseattle.media@gmail.com. Let me put that out again. occupyseattle.media@gmail.com. And their phone number is 206-552-3077. And I'm going to be putting this into the chat room. And anybody who wants to get there, who's in Washington State, here's some of the information. Good grief, do you believe that? Well, anyways, that's what's going on over at OccupyWallStreet.org. I do have some other news for you here. Adbusters is looking for all of your art and all of your creative skills to put out more in information and bringing information to the people through all of the different Occupy sites and back into the chat room here. Part-time workers, no benefits, discrimination against women and minorities. Anti-union, oh, hell yes. Destroying Main Street America, I think, is a very, very significant thing to say. I thank David for giving me these little notes from the chat room on why we should be occupying Walmart. There's also something very interesting that's sort of going around very lightly. It's about occupying your lights. Now, there's a lot of people who are hearing about, and I have to tell you, I know that people are actually growing, yes, they are. They are growing smarter about where they're getting their news from through this whole Occupy process. They're looking to the internet more frequently. They're being led through social media. To go to Twitter is absolutely pulling people's intelligence about the news and global events up since this began, because people have been directed to go to Twitter to look for Occupy information. And at the same time, I also read this week where watching, this is not news to anybody, watching Fox News is bringing people's awareness down. So basically, we've got a whole new demographic of intelligentsia growing up around this movement that is dedicating itself to getting the information out there, because, like us, they're speaking truth to power, and they're fighting the MSM liars, or corporate messaging, if you're going to be completely polite about the situation. It's basically It's basically bringing people's awareness up incredibly. Now, before I play this piece that I have for you, which is a word from one of our other sponsors, all my heroes are completely anonymous, and I have a message from that crowd. But Occupy Your Lights is that not everyone can always make their local occupation, and a lot of people are handicapped or busy or working. Hey, I do what I can in this position. I help a bit with the live stream feed here. Not everyone can get to the Occupy. So Occupy, Wall Street and all the other Occupies are coming up with some ingenious ways of showing the world that you are in alignment or you are in support of them. So they've got this Occupy Your Lights for the people who can't be at the Occupy. They've devised a new and simple tactic that can be used to express your solidarity with Occupy Wall Street from the comfort of your own home or wherever you might be. And even in your car, I mean, there's lights in your car. At 9 p.m. in your local time zone, simply flip the lights on and off for an entire minute. Continue to do it every night that you can see until you can see that there's a little bit more social and economic justice for everybody. I think that's pretty cool. What they're doing is they're saying to us, hey, man, every night, get it together, and if you're not at an Occupy movement, well, then show your solidarity every damn day by flicking your lights at 9 p.m. Well, that's not so hard to do. I don't think it's going to break anybody's circuits, and I don't think it's going to do anything to the life of your bulb. I'm recommending it. At 9 p.m. every night, and I'm going to try to remind people every day on the show to occupy your lights, man. Flick them on and off for a minute at 9 p.m. every night. There's an inspiration. The more people do it, too, it gets more and more visible, and that more and more visibility is going to enable... you don't think it will? Vorp, you don't think it'll do it? Well, I do think that it makes a difference. If you get like 20 houses in a small city that do it, say there's 1,500 people and there's two houses that are blinking their lights and people are noticing, word gets around. I do think it's worthwhile. I do think it's worthwhile. Anyways, the inspiration for this comes from a terrible accident that happened in 96 and a scandal involving Turkish government officials and the armed forces and organized crime were all in the same car. As a result, the people of Turkey were awakened to the idea of their government cavorting with criminals. And part of their protest and response was called, I can't pronounce it, 1 minute's darkness for the sake of perpetual light. And basically, this protest tactic was identical to what's described above. It became very effective over there. So why not, brother? Borrow from our Turkish brothers and sisters and give it a try anyways. I'm going to promote it, and I hope you guys are going to try it. And now I am going to play a little message from some of our sponsors who shall remain always anonymous. Give it a go. Thank you.
Occupy Wall Street by way of Occupy Fleet Street is turning into your old meat street. As expected, the forces of the Last Gasp have dispatched their faceless assault bots with their black motorcycle helmets into the parks, plazas, and sidewalks of this debauched culture and looted landscape into the dying cities of materialism on their homeward bound course, which is the eventual destiny of this particular format, marching onto its own particular entropy with its final destination. Imperialism has its denouement, as do all of the other temporary forms grafted onto the original tribal state. Every one of these systems has their perversion specialists and money manipulation experts, and we know who they are in present day, in tandem with it being same as it ever was. Same as it ever was. Same as it ever was. The police and the military work for the money men. The perversion specialists warp the cultures through facetious and gratuitous laws that transform perception by legal decree. It's the law. It must be right. The police and military are those whose conscience has adapted into the performance of any and every outrage in exchange for a paycheck. They're enforcing the law, and the law must be right. Meanwhile, there are those in the police and military who still retain a semblance of conscience and know that they are being screwed the same way as those they are hammering with their batons. In this time of awakening, many with guns in their hands are waking up to the injustices of torture and murder of the goat herders and villagers in foreign lands. They did it for the bankers and the bankrupt slogans, whether it be Semper Fi, Sieg Heil, or In Hoc Signor Vinces. There are no parasites as insidious, vile, venal, and cold as the bankers. They are the original Satanists. Stop the bankers, and you stop the clocks. You stop the wars. You stop the poverty. You stop the inequality. You stop every evil financed by them, and they are considerable. It's a simple thing. The same way that the war against the Muslims is about Muslim bankers not charging interest because usury is the king of pain in the lands of the oppressed that extend from sea to poison sea. Also courtesy of the bankers who never met an environmental disaster that they didn't like. First they destroy it, and then they muster another industry that pretends to clean it up. They manufacture diseases in order to make the practice of medicine a high-profit industry. They manufacture laws that make the private prison industry a high-profit scam. They destroy the educational system to graduate ignorance and stupidity for the purpose of assimilating propaganda and social control. They take every potentially good thing and rework it for maximum profit. They outlaw every positive methodology to destroy the possibility of competition with the varieties of bad shit that interfaces with all kinds of other bad shit that has put us all in the shit where we are now. It's a simple thing, people. Let's look at the pharmaceutical industry by example. The pharmaceutical industry kills and makes infirm more people than the illegal drug industry has ever done since back in the day when they were providing all the drugs they are now illegal. I'm pretty convinced that the Harrison Act came about because certain forces in bed with the international bankers saw how much profit they could be gained from opium since it was prohibited. To comprehend why that is, you only have to go back to study the Boxer Rebellion and the Opium Wars and the results, and you can fast forward to the Afghanistan War if you like as well. Of interest is the fact that part of the Boxer Rebellion was about the influx of the satanic Christian missionaries into Chinese culture. There are two Christianities, always keep that in mind, and one of them has nothing to do with Jesus Christ. Okay, Western medicine is allopathic. That means it treats the symptoms and not the cause. Who is the biggest purveyor of symptom suppressants and sundry? Why, that would be the pharmaceutical industry. Who profits from shutting down all natural healing techniques and substances? Why, that would be the pharmaceutical industry. I want to show you how wide the net of vicious enterprise extends. I suppose I am speculating a bit here now, but given all we know, it sounds as plausible as anything. What industry is most responsible for poor health on the part of the Western populations? That would be the food industry, in tandem with the chemical industry. Isn't the pharmaceutical part of the chemical industry? The food industry employs researchers and scientists to mess around with the dynamics of Lady Nature. They employ financial experts to figure out how to lower costs and to maximize profits, which means using palm oil and soy oil instead of the more expensive but healthier components. Now, consider the sweetener substitutes that I don't really have to get into. Extrapolate out into genetically modified foods and let your imagination take you on an excursion of speculation. Now, consider that those who invest in the food industry were almost certainly involved in the pharmaceutical industry and the medical industry, and you can suppose, assume, or outright claim that there is little doubt that they make food which makes people sick, to send profits to another arm of the blood-sucking octopus that straddles the globe. But there's no conspiracy. Nah, there's no conspiracy among the money men around the world to maintain this abusive system and to look for new ways to make it worse, if only there is some greater profit to be gained. Every religion except for the one that operates under the Talmud espouses mercy, charity, peacefulness, compassion, and attendant virtues. Yet, what do we see promoted from the pernicious pulpits by the twisted priests of most of them? Why are we in a time of religious wars that serves the interests of bankers? Look at your ministers, people. Look to your philosophers and pundits of the moment who are given so much media FaceTime by the people who own the media for one reason: to keep the truth buried under a land full of lies for the purpose of profit. In a time of darkness, the mind of darkness is preeminent via the reports of the senses of the propensities of the mind and heart of the one interpreting them. Factor in the mass mind and peer pressure, and you have a dark and viscous soup, as sticky as tar and difficult to extricate from. It's no wonder that people feel trapped, have given up, or are completely unaware of what is happening to them. If it were not for the benevolence of the cosmos and the appearance of Mr. Apocalypse and his walking stick, we'd be toast. It's not an accident that Rick Perry forgot his lines at the debate. It's no surprise that Strauss Kahn is much deeper into the goblin light than just being a serial abuser. It's no surprise that so many things are coming to light and that the efforts of the damned are being frustrated at every turn. Some would say, no, they had all of this planned a long time ago. This can't be stopped. I beg to differ, and I submit that no one has ever pulled it off in recorded history, and not before that either. It always gets to a place like this first, the place of the summing up. The Sandusky affair, which will prove to connect all over the place to all sorts of people, has been exposed by a tap from Mr. Apocalypse's walking stick. Mr. Apocalypse is dancing across the world stage like Gene Kelly. He's singing in the rain. He's wearing mirror shades. He's humming an old Robert Johnson tune. He's on his way to the crossroads to collect on some debts. It's a wonderful irony that those who have spent their lifetime putting people into debt and operating off the principle of debt are now going to find themselves very, very deeply in debt and unable to resolve it, except in a most timeless and ancient fashion. It's all under control, and beautifully so. There's nothing unpredictable except for those of us, most of us, who can't predict what is coming because why spoil the surprise? In the meantime, that uncertainty is meant to provoke and inspire us to be better than we might have been in the process. Keep holding the truth to be self-evident, and it will certainly become so. Sooner or later, once it burns away the rubbish and rags that conceal it. It's all about the right kind of desire and aspiration. This is what turns away the veils. Some say that passionlessness is the key, but that's just another way up the mountain. You're either climbing it or you're at the base camp arguing with the experts.
Okay. About right, I think. About right. Just one little minute here. Just one little minute. I want you to hear this. This is also important, too. We need to get this done. Boy, that was just entirely the wrong damn clip, wasn't it? Once again, I'm having problems getting good old Dennis Trainor's commercial up in here. I feel awful bad about that. Actually, what I'm going to do is I'm going to launch my iTunes and play it right off of there because Dennis needs the help. I don't know if you've seen how he's accomplished so much. He's a videographer and a commentarian, and he basically has been chronicling the whole Occupy across the national scene. And he's done, I like that verb. I like that very much. This is my rifle, this is my gun, one is for shooting, the other's for fun, yes. Okay, I remember that somewhere down the road. But let me play this piece for you. It is Dennis's voice himself, and the fellow really needs help again. He's chronicling and he's putting together a documentary on the whole Occupy movement. He has so much stuff there, and he needs help. So I want folks to hear this. I hope you will give it your ear.
About the Occupy movement, and I'm raising money to help me complete the documentary of the first chapter of this historic movement, this where were you when type of movement. Now, wait a second. I know some of you are saying, haven't I donated to Dennis and this project before? Yes, many of you have. Over 300 of you donated to allow me to get funded fully through the end of October. I was able to upgrade a significant upgrade in my equipment. I was able to hire not one, but two camera ops. I was able to travel to Occupy D.C., to Occupy Wall Street, Portland, Maine, I sent a camera person to. I was able to fly out to Oakland, San Francisco. I've got a ton of footage, and while I've been sharing some short-form footage with you, the primary focus of what I've been doing since the Occupy movement started is creating content that will be used in a feature-length documentary. But when does this moment, this first chapter, end? Enter stage left serendipity in the form of someone that I've met along my travels, journalist with the Boston Phoenix, Chris Ferrone, who pointed out to me, by way of telling me about a book that he's writing, that the first 99 days of the 99% movement ends on Christmas. Christmas is the 99th day of the Occupy Wall Street movement. Woo-hoo. So there's a lot of poetic potential in that, I hope that you will agree. And that is the day that I've decided to end the first chapter. So I'm going to follow the Occupy movement through Christmas, 99 days with the 99%, and then look back through that lens, hoping to create a document that will inspire people to join with us as this seed grows and we enter into the survive this winter and enter into the American spring when this movement will just explode. So I need some money. I have to raise some money to get that done. What am I using the money for? I'll tell you. Well, for one thing, data storage. I've actually captured over 4 terabytes of footage and backed that up twice so as not to lose anything. For you people who don't know, that's a lot. Second, travel. I'd like to be able to go where this story takes me. I've been to many of the larger Occupies. I'd like to start going to some of the smaller Occupies. I'm headed down to New York City. I'll be there from the 11th to the 18th, then be in D.C. till the 23rd. Then comes Thanksgiving and Black Friday for the next month of December. I'd like to get out to Chicago, maybe Milwaukee, and then some of the other smaller Occupies around the country to round out what I'm doing. Staff. So I no longer have staff to work with me. It's just myself and the camera. Funding permitted, I will be able to hire back a camera operator. And then, finally, and this is important, post-production, because this is a fast-moving story, I'm going to be able to turn around this feature-length documentary in short order so that people can see it before the American spring, before the call comes, and it's coming, for all the Occupies to come to Washington, D.C. in the spring to occupy the National Mall in an historic occupation protest and an escalation of this movement. I hope that my feature-length documentary can at least contribute to inspire people to get to that next level. So I've already upgraded a ton of my equipment. I've done the large majority, over 80% of the funding that I have to do. If you want to help me get to the next level to see this project through its chapter one completion, that is 99 days with the 99%, please click the link in the video description. Thank you very much.
And that was Dennis. Dennis needs our help. I hope you all will take a listen and go on over to YouTube and search out No, There's No Cure for That. It's easy to find. Dennis is easy to find. He needs the money, and we need the chronicler. And think of all he's already captured that we don't want him to lose. This is, you know, bits of data storage, virtual. We don't know what's going to happen. We want him to have it pretty well locked down. I want to also, before I go on over and begin to read off another piece of information that I thought on Anything Goes Day would be interesting to put in about how media is expanding and how the message is actually getting out. A follow-up to Dennis, if you will. I want to extend a very warm welcome to P.E. Nolan. Thanks for stopping by, my friend. This is Anything Goes Wednesday, and smoke if you got them. Here we go. We're going to go on over here. Now, this is taken from part of an alternate article that is off alternate. It is on the Occupy Wall Street section, Voices of the Occupations, 5 new media sources fighting against censorship, and 4 the Occupy Wall Street movement. And with the Occupy Wall Street movement at the 2-month mark, and the stories in and around it growing alongside the movement, social media has become an organizational tool for protesters, to say in the little letters. It's become the means for a new group of storytellers. He also does that very well, boy. And to relay the views of the front line more directly, some would say more honestly than traditional news sources. Oh, ya think. Anyways, if the acts of press suppression in New York on November 14th are any indication, the audience for this new batch of media outlets is about to grow. Anyways, the first one that they bring to bear is from Occupy Oakland, which you can find at OAKFOSHO, and that would be on Twitter. Outside of the original Occupy Wall Street protests in New York City, Oakland has garnered the most national attention, thanks in no small part to the actions of the city's Thug-E Police Department. More than 5,000 people watched the OPD raid the occupation after the November 2nd general strike via Oakland resident Spencer Mills' Motorola smartphone. How's that? Let me put that in perspective again. More than 5,000 people watched the OPD raid the occupation. That was live after its November 2nd general strike via Oakland resident Spencer Mills' Motorola smartphone. It was intense, Mills told the San Jose Mercury News. I was just standing there with a camera. You know, that's life in the new millennia. Over the course of the evening, Mills not only followed the police movements, noting how many outside agencies the city of Oakland brought in to arrest protesters, but he interviewed occupiers to get their reasons for participating, hours after local newscasters had already left the scene, in a testament to the real-time effectiveness of his broadcasts. When Mills told the audience he needed new batteries for his phone, various viewers showed up to help him keep his signal going. That's like the guy in Denver who kept going back to his car to charge up his laptop the night that they were evicting them from the park in Denver, and it was so violent, and they were all running in little packs through Denver. And please don't forget Tim of Ustream at Occupy Wall Street on the day of action. Oh, my gosh, what a job. What a job that fella did. You can't believe when you see some of these folks doing this. But back to it here. When Mills told the audience he needed new batteries, various viewers showed up to help him keep his signal going. He's been a broadcasting fixture ever since, including another early morning raid by late Sunday night, which was simulcast at one point by Al Jazeera English. It's a place I go for the truth. I don't know about you. That would be, let me say it again, Maybe they'll slip me a few bills if I keep this up. Al Jazeera English. Ask your carriers and providers to please supply us with an Al Jazeera channel. Thank you very much. Prompting the official nickname, Oakland's own Edison Carter. In a sign of the times, Mills was even invited to take part in an Oakland Tribune panel discussion on coverage of the occupation. That's journalism in a real nutshell. That's gonzo, baby. Anyways, let's press on, shall we? Okay, the other 99. Occupy Wall Street, the other 99, okay? This is the site began as a news gathering source from Zuccotti Park and runs on donations, but it's already blossomed into various platforms, including a newsletter and videos from other occupations. That's the other 99, and I'm going to actually try and provide you with the link here in the chat room. That's what I'm doing at this point. Didn't link up, but at least you know where to look on your Google. I saw a T-shirt. It was so cool. I know I'm going off target, but this fellow's T-shirt said, "Fuck Google, ask me." I thought that was wonderful. It would make a delightful Christmas present. Anyways, here we go. Back to the story at hand. But it's garnered the most attention for its live streams from the park, where the site's media director, Tim Pool, oh, Tim Pool is a god. He's a Ustreaming god. His stuff on Ustream, all day, the day of action, the guy should get some kind of award for it, has been active since the beginning of the movement, according to MSNBC. Pool's coverage of the November 15th police action against Occupy Wall Street drew 20,000 viewers over a course of nearly 16 straight hours. Let me tell you what, a day of action, over 500,000 people hit his stream sometime during the day, and at many times over 40,000 were viewing. 40,000. When you think there's 7 billion people in the world, that doesn't seem like much. Just look at how much I'm talking to you. Have you ever stood in line waiting for the bus and heard people just strike up a conversation because they feel the need to communicate? 40,000 people that are going to go out and say, "You should have seen what I saw." That's big. Those are significant numbers. Now, this is someone my sister is working with on the Twitter, at Blog Diva, and I'm going to put that into the chat room for you, too, at Blog Diva. Now, she's a Twitter feed. Lots of very vital information coming out of this lady. My sister is stunning me all the time with what she's bringing. She'll be sitting across working on the other bench, and all of a sudden she said, "You are not going to believe this." And we know it like 6 hours before anybody else starts talking about it, because she's getting it from Blog Diva. Though she's based out of New York City, blogger Lisa Sabater has used her already sizable following on Twitter, which is more than 19,000 people. Now, let's talk about it again, you know, sociologically speaking, sorry about that. What you have here is 19,000 people going and tweeting, all right, to how many thousands more, to act as a one-woman RSS feed for occupations nationwide. Yes, I know. Oh, she's doing such a good job. Can't get Blog Diva, can't get past it. Posting information and commentary touching on not just the scene in New York, but all over the country. Sabater has also used her feed to keep readers up to date on the ongoing protests in Egypt, which is real important. As I said at the beginning of the show, we are Egypt here today. Please send your best energy over there. they need it. They are our brothers and sisters everywhere across this globe right now who are standing up for equality and justice, whether it is economic or it is total and complete. Okay, and then there is the OccupyStream.com. That's a really good one, too. This site, set up by Occupy Wall Street sympathizer on his own time, is precisely the kind of outlet PIPA and SOPA might hit hardest, okay? It acts as a one-stop shop for viewers following multiple protests. I don't know if you've gone over there and played with it, but it's really kind of, if you see, what fascinates me most is not the ongoing live action, but the chat stream global on these. It's amazing. There is amazing information. There are amazing relationships forming. Hell, we're talking a whole new culture is being born here. So, yeah, Occupy Stream is definitely a place you got to know about. The site's founder's name is Keith Jimenez, and in his own words, "I've been waiting for an opportunity to help the first movements of revolution, but I didn't know how. And this site will hopefully connect everyone on possibly the planet. So far, it seems to be working." As of this past weekend, Jimenez had to upgrade the site servers to handle the incoming traffic. There are a lot of sites. We're up there. And we're just a little old Occupy Palm Beach, so Palm Beach County. There is one called a tweet feed called at Jaziri X. He is from Occupy Pittsburgh. I'm going to put that one into the chat room so that you can pick up on that one too. These are Twitter feeds, you know. These are tweet people. These are tweeters, okay? Lots of tweeters in here. Earlier this year, the Pittsburgh-based rapper weighed in on the Troy Davis case, one of the few musical artists who spoke out against Davis's execution. And more recent, that one. More recently, Jaziri was first artist to publicly express his support for OWS in his track "Occupy We the 99. His outspokenness led to an awkward encounter at the University of Connecticut, where he agreed to take part in a political awareness rally, only to be told he couldn't do Occupy. Eventually, he was told he could perform the song, but would forfeit his appearance fee by doing so. He did the song anyway. Can I say that again, please? He did the song anyway. Fuck the money. It's like, fuck Google, ask me. Fuck the money. He did the song anyway. But as an artist who has built himself up in part through his reach via online media, he has an online established program for helping young black men do the same thing. He might also have cause for care if the new bills go through. And what they're talking about is these IP crushers that are sitting in Congress right now. Motherfuckers, I'm not even going there. And I didn't say that. I wasn't being that rude. But those are a few of the more top of the list of alternative media outlets, like this little bitty show here on Blog Talk Radio. And I'll remind you once again who we are. Nice to meet you, Vorb. Glad you were here. Glad Alex was in there too. We are Here Be Monsters. You have been listening to Here Be Monsters. And yeah, that's about all that I've got for you on Anything Goes Wednesday, I managed to mutilate an hour with information that's pretty good to hang on to, but nonetheless, I mutilated some airwaves here, which is my intention. I want to mutilate them in the right way. You're listening to Here Be Monsters, one of a drumline of small radio shows boycotting the liars of the MSM and providing people with an alternative media choice, speaking truth to power. Thank you. I love you back. And I want to remind you all that we do have on Tuesday, Dusty Taylor. Some Saturdays we have P.E. Nolan or Tricia Poole, the writer over at Roundtree 7 and Menopausal Stoners, and she puts her links up too when she's on. It's nice to meet you today, Vorp. Coming mid-December, we're going to have Manny Jelonsky. As I said, on Wednesdays, he will take it over. It will be his show. He'll probably be a little bit more flowing. He's very concise. He's very bright. And I think he'll bring some very, very good political talk to the radio and vitally circling around the Occupy Wall Street phenomenon, well, movement, all the good stuff, folks, all the good stuff. Been on for an hour here on my own. I don't think I did too terribly badly. I liked the beginning. And so let me like the ending. As I said, we are providing the people with an alternative media choice, speaking truth to power. Check out Friday this week, where Dusty Taylor from Left Wing Nut Job will be back on, standing in for me, because I'm taking sort of a until Sunday break for the holiday so that I can go out and be nasty at the parking lot at the local Walmart, which is where I was nasty to get votes once for Obama. Do you believe that shit? Do you believe that shit? I believe that shit. But you know what? Tomorrow, think and speak to people about what you're grateful for. It's a day of thanks. We should be grateful for our indigenous brothers and sisters in America. They kind of got the short end of that stick, didn't they? So talk about how grateful you are, about whatever you're grateful for. I think that's a good way to demonstrate a Thanksgiving. Anyways, I am the daughter of Isis, and today, again, we were Egypt. Please send some good energy in that direction. This is not a global revolution. This is a global evolution. It's an evolution. So please, remember, we dedicate all our broadcasts to the peacefully driven Occupy movement worldwide, and we're in solidarity because we are the 99%. We're sponsored by Roundtree 7, that's the number 7.com, and Daughters of Isis, which is my own little handmade company, and I do contribute some of the base here. So we are, I actually was reading off the page, and I'm having sort of a hard time getting over to, oh, there's my board. You damn right, Octavian. It looks like those votes I got for Obama only got the U.S. into a worse situation. Guess who I'm not working for anymore? The Democrats. The Republicrats. Anyways, tomorrow, peace. Everybody, peace. Just peace, you know? I would say that, and some smartass would inevitably say, piece of ass, but my mother would always say, piece of whiskey. So if you do have one on me tomorrow, and remember to think about, you know, the grateful stuff, what you got to be grateful for. I'm going to leave with a spoken piece here, something recorded by my good friend Cherie Foytlin. It's poignant. Take a listen. Hey, and thanks for listening. Really, really, thanks for listening, being here. You're loved. You're appreciated.
One thing that I think is important is democracy. What's the number one thing, the number one person that I can get information to and change this and make this better? And at that time, I actually thought it was the President of the United States. I believe that if I, as an American citizen, as a voting person who have always done the right thing, always worked, always took care of my kids, I pay my taxes, I do exactly what I'm supposed to do, that if I called out to the President of the United States in earnest, that he would hear me. So I called out to him on CNN.
I'm asking you, sir, as a patriot and as an honorable person, to come and hear our stories and hear the pain that we are in.
I needed to know at that point if my country and what I believed about my country was real, and I got my answer. It's not. It's not. We no longer are a free society. The corporations are the people, and we're under them. I have no voice. That was the lesson. What do you do if no one will hear you? You scream louder and louder and louder, and you stomp your feet, and nobody will still hear you? That's the most helpless feeling in the world. And that's what everybody in this whole situation has felt from the beginning. That's the tragedy of it. It's not just the fact that we lost our culture, we lost our livelihood, we lost endless amounts of wildlife. We lost our voice. In order to secure a future for our next generation, we are going to have to change the fight. Do it like Martin Luther King Jr. did, and understand that the rights of a human for clean air and clean water are equally as important as their civil rights. I will not, under any circumstances, let my baby grow up in a world where greed and money is more important than their life. I will not do it. And I don't care if nobody stands behind me. I don't care what happens. That president, that person, the Congress, I don't care what I have to do. They are going to hear us.
Hey, that was Sheree Foytlin, and I like to stop on a positive note for the holiday. Everybody be safe tomorrow. Enjoy your families. Like, you know, occupy family tomorrow. That's a good thing. And if you do imbibe, have a little piece of whiskey on me. If you don't imbibe, please enjoy your cider, whatever. But have a peaceful time. This has been Here Be Monsters. We are sponsored by Roundtree7.com, and we are down for the count. We'll see you again with Dusty Taylor on Friday, and possibly P. Nolan on Saturday.